I'm so happy to be up here and to have this chance to talk with all of you again. I know I'm an oddball, and you guys put up with me so good. You know, over this last couple of weeks, I've been on a interesting little journey spiritually. I love the Word more than I know how to express with words. And it's exactly that sentiment that brings forth poetry in people, where they try and give this really rooted idea in their mind and try and give it voice so that others might share in it with them. And so the poetry in the Bible calls to me. But recently I've been taking some time out of my day on Wednesdays, and I've been talking with the young men. And me and Micah and JJ and Sam and Kevin even joined us last week. And we've all been discussing what are the things that we love in the Scripture. And because we have different opinions on these things. They're all good things. And I was talking to Micah, and we were talking about how he likes Paul, and he likes Romans and Acts. And they're amazing books, and they're ones I kind of shy away from sometimes. And I'm not entirely sure why I do that, but the reason he told me that he grabs onto that is Paul is this beautiful representation of a disciple, of a person who can be an example for us of the way that we should conduct ourselves in this world and with one another. And so I took that to heart this week. Truth is, I was planning on doing something completely different, and then it struck me. I want to talk about Paul. And I want to talk about what it takes to be brave and why that's important. And I want to talk about the power of a testimony and how that can change the world, how that can change lives. So I'm going to start in Acts 21, verse 37. And this is, Paul has just been accosted by an angry mob. They wish him dead. They don't want anything to do with him. They want him gone. And as he's being taken in by this Roman soldier, the Roman soldiers, they grab him. They see the issue. There's about to be a murder. So they grab him. And as he's being taken to the barracks, he has the courage to stop, look at that commander, that soldier that's protecting him, and say, "Hey guys, would it be all right if I went back out there and talked to them again?" It's like, I'm blessed with having a wonderful group of people that are here and want to hear me. It shouldn't be too hard for me to be brave in this situation. Yet every time I stand up here, I seem so nervous. I'm so nervous before I talk. Paul shows me here I should put that down. Whether the people in front of me want to hear me or they don't, I should stand up brave with God at my side, and I should speak the words. So I'd like to read to you some of this and read to you Paul's testimony to these people, because it's powerful. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" The commander says, "Do you speak Greek?" He replied, "Aren't you an Egyptian who started a revolt and led thousands of rioters out of the wilderness some time ago?" Paul answered, "I'm a Jew from Tarsus of Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people." It's really interesting here. All this is going on, and there's this rioting and these people, and they hate him. And even the guards themselves that are dealing with this issue seem to have absolutely no idea who he is. Zero. They think he's an assassin. He's this horrible person that's starting riots and causing mayhem. And by that account, I mean, these guards should probably not care for him much either. But he goes out bravely. And the guard says, "Yeah." After receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on a step and motioned to the crowd. He raises his hand, and it hushes this mob. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic. So he's creating a rapport with them. He decides to speak the language they understand. Brothers, fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the laws of our ancestor. I was just as zealous for God as any one of you today. I persecuted the followers of the way. Way right here has a capital W. He's referring to Christianity. Christianity had been coined at this point, but this isn't the way that these people knew of it. They knew of it as the way. So he says, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and all the council themselves can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus. He was even going to be sent on he was so prevalently into this harming of the early Christians that he was even going to be sent by them to go abroad and do the same thing because he was effective at it. And when they were to bring these people and went to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. It's interesting. A man that has studied God his whole life doesn't seem to be able to recognize him when he speaks. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that I have assigned for you to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man, Annas, came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear the words from his mouth. You will be a witness to all people of what you have seen and heard, and now that you are waiting, and now that what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, call on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and I was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and I saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he said, leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyrs, Stephen, was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you away to the Gentiles. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him. He is not fit to live. You see, they're deeply, deeply offended at this testimony. Not because he's heard from God, but because he's saying on some level to them, they hear, God disapproves of you, so he's going to go give your right to someone else. Their hubris, their pride that they are the chosen people allows that to bring forth anger in them and hate. There's a power in this testimony here that they weren't able to hear at that time. And it's, I see more than ever in my life that the power of testimony is important. He draws out how you give a testimony here. And I would like to try and follow that example on some level, and I'd like to give you guys mine. I've grown up and I've done many things. Many things I'm not proud of. I've been drunk and high and crude and mean and hurtful and vindictive towards people in my life. I've been an enemy of God. And I spent many years of my life doing so. Sitting there doing nothing but relying on my own understanding of this world to try and move forward, to try and make my muscles as strong as they could be, to work 10, 12-hour days hoping that money was going to solve my problems and put me in right relationship with those around me. And I was wrong. But I had hardened my heart. I had hardened my heart so hard that there was no way for God to break that except by hammer. He had to crush me. As I'm sitting there at work one day in a big warehouse, I go, I could do this, and I rip on this piece of metal. My lumbar at the very top and the very bottom went and was no longer where it needed to be. And I fell flat on my back on a cold concrete floor, staring at the ceiling, watching the smoke from the welders rise. Being completely helpless, unable to move, roll one way or the other. Matthew John Henry Mullins, he died on that floor that day. And I stand here now with a heart that's been put back together by the grace of God, by the words of Jesus. In that, I rejoice, and it's what brings me here so that I might speak to you guys. To bring a testimony, to say it's not by my own doing that I stand here, that my heart is changed, that I look at things in a different way. It is due to Him and His miraculous works. There's a sense of joy that I take in that I don't know how to describe. When Paul says you're all like walking dead, he means it. And when I died on that floor that day, He raised me up, and I was born new that day. Ask anyone that knew me before that moment, and they'll tell you I'm not the same person I was. And I'm not perfect. I'm still working on. We're all on a journey in our lives, right? I take two steps forward and one step back all the time, but that is leading me on a trajectory upwards. And I'm okay with that. And thank goodness we have a merciful God who's okay with that. Thank goodness that Jesus intercedes for me in those failures. Because I can't do that for myself. Only He can. In that city that Paul gave his testimony, Even though they were violently, murderously angry at him for the words he was speaking, he was trying to bring forth beauty out of something. And he didn't get to see that come to fruition right away. He had to run. He had to escape. Beautiful things take a long time to come to be sometimes, and we must have the patience to let that happen. I face that all the time as I'm trying to read books and trying to become ever closer to God and learn what His will is for me. Because my life is His now. And that's a good thing. I was looking, thinking about all these things, and I was talking with John, and we were talking about gardens and beauty. And I had mentioned there's a beautiful Japanese garden up in Portland, one of the best outside of Japan, absolutely one of the most beautiful gardens I've ever seen. Now, when that garden was first built, it was just after World War II that all of this stuff had started to be built. And there was a lot of prejudice against Japanese people at the time. And there was a gentleman who took it out of his day to go around and find those plants and plant them with care in this place, one by one. Well, simultaneously, every night, people would come out and scream slurs at him, a mob telling him to go home and go away and that his people have no place here. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. He finished his work. He did what he was going to do because he wanted to bring beauty. He wanted to show a piece of a culture that maybe people didn't understand. The way the people of Portland back then treated him for that was by mugging him and stabbing him. That was the reward he felt he got. And he went back to Japan. He ran. He had to run like Paul ran. Now, in our current day, that garden is beautiful and sees about 500,000 people a year walk through its gates to see something from a different person's perspective, to see beauty. That heals. Just like the beauty of his testimony. If we could all just take a moment and give people the benefit of the doubt, as these people should have given Paul, as people should give us, we're all in this process together, and we're moving forward the best we can. And someday that will be made perfect and that will be made right by God. Until then, we should remove the hate and the pride and the unjust things we wish to do to people because we feel hurt or sorrowful. And we should walk in the way that this book tells us to. And when I read all this, and I look at all this, and I contemplate all this, I've been reading this book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer recently. And he said something in here that struck me. It struck me like a rock in the head. He says, when Christ calls a man, he says, come die. And on that, I think I'm going to end us in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here today and talk to these wonderful people. I know I'm not Pastor John, nor am I trying to be exactly as he is. You know what is the right path for me and for everyone in here. Reveal that to us in a manner, in a time, and in a way that we can see so that we might bring beauty to this world. And if our hard work doesn't look like it's transforming it, give us the patience to give it the time to do its work and heal this dry land. In your name we pray. Amen.